Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I have picked up my Cole Roofing mug here. I got my Rofo coffee rocking it for Festivus this week, but I have not brought out the purple lights. I have I've been very, very sort of humble and modest and very, very muted in my... I mean, I'm enthusiastic. I'm all about it, but it is a little different that, like, I would probably have five buses going to Buffalo this week. We'd be piling into the Anchor Bar, having beef on Weck, and, you know, in the old days, crossing the Peace Bridge, and probably have an old hoot nanny north of the border in Toronto as well.
Way, maybe.
Yeah, you know, but Mike Rossigliano is here. You know, I don't even... Rossig, I don't even know what to call you other than, like, you're sort of like family, right? Like, I mean, I met you in 1984. You knew me before my son was born. Yeah. And I have, over the holidays, found all of the cartoons, all the little inside jokes, all the proper pup stuff, all of the Jesus reaching down with Frank Reich's face over my bed on Kane Street during the Bills Oilers.
Yes.
And you know, and I even brought this out recently. I mean, how many cartoons have you drawn, Rossig?
Oh my, you know, more cartoons than hats. And that's saying a lot, cause I have 6,000 hats. So way more than 6,000 cartoons for a lot of different publications. So there's a big stockpile of them. If anyone ever wants any
hats or cartoons,
they're here.
Well, you know what, man? And I have not said this publicly, but I'm going to say it to you because I love you and we've been friends forever. I have started to, like, clean up my life. Like, I'm 52. I have so much stuff. You know what I mean? Just, like, stuff. Like, a couple weeks ago, we were on a sales call, and a gal said, I interviewed you 20 years ago for our CCBC, you know, media edition. And I, you know, went back and I found, like, pictures of what I used to look like when I was young, you know? And I found this, and I've been showing this one all week, and I know you'll appreciate this. That's my dude there. That's David Modell.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Army trophy 20 years ago this month, just like where the Mayflowers were. So wheezing and geezing and having friends like you, Mike, all these years – that, like, I try to go back to the beginning of, like, how all this starts. So the Buffalo Bills are really the center point, probably, of our friendship and us working together. When I met you, we had just lost the Colts. We're in the process of losing the Colts. My internship started in January of 84, and then I was without a team. And you had a really good team. And you had moved here, right? So, like... You and I, we've gotten on in your car, in my car. We've driven to Buffalo. I was taunting Amy Trask on Twitter last week because I found the ticket stub from the 51-3 Jay Schrader game, which is my first game at Rich Stadium.
Still one of my – I've only been to two – I've never been to a Super Bowl. I've been to two championship games, both against the Raiders, of course, the trouncing we went to on the eve of the Gulf War, if you remember.
I do remember that.
And then the Ravens beating the Raiders out in Oakland. So and you were there for both.
By the way, when Norwood missed the kick, I was sitting about 3 feet behind you. Like, I was in your living room. I was literally when the kick was missed. We were together. We were having wings, right? Secret Anchor Bar recipe. When we were in Buffalo the week before, right? We went to the championship game and we threw this red, white, and blue Bills party in your home, right? For everyone, for your whole neighborhood.
Yes, of course. Exactly. I mean, that's my neighborhood's great. And you know, for this game coming up, I got to believe that if the Ravens don't win the game and Buffalo does, my neighborhood will jump on Buffalo as their rooting interest.
Well, that's
been the case in all those years in the 90s when the Bills went to the Super Bowl.
But the Ravens have never played the Bills in a big game. I mean, you've adopted the Ravens in 1996, right, Rossig? So 84 to 96, you'd lived here a dozen years. You'd lost a couple of Super Bowls. I was there with you along the way. I never made it to a Super Bowl, by the way. You know, the Oilers never made it. ever. You know, so
you're an Oiler fan
until they were the Titans. They made it, and I wore my Oilers jersey, and they came a foot away. You know,
through that, that's true.
So you know this Titans Ravens thing, and you know I've been talking all week about the Ravens players doing a split on the Titans logo, which I'm sure Tony Siragusa and Ray Lewis loved, and you know,
yes.
Fandom is fun, man. And, you know, this plague's been a bitch. You and I have gotten together. Terry, my wife, got together a few times, socially distanced down, literally on the corner in Fells Point watching Ed Lauer. We've had a few beers together this summer.
Our buddy, Ed, we miss live music, and we'd love to see an Eddie those couple of times. It was great.
Well, you know, but Buffalo and Baltimore, like, that's your life. Like, your wife's... Give the Buffalo story, because you went to Buff State. You met your... You have, like, such an incredible story of beautiful children. There's a rumor, hold on the Christmas card that maybe something's going on about grandparenting. Is that happening here in 21?
That is happening. We're very fired up about that. So,
nice.
Terry is born in Buffalo. So, Terry's all in on the Bills for this weekend.
Not Buffalo, Depew.
She's not really Depew. She's more in the city, but her sister lives in Depew. You know, one of my boys was born in Buffalo, Steve, and Tup born here. And, of course, I'm born in Brooklyn. So, yeah, I went to school up in Buffalo. Terry also went to that same school, but we never met there. And I worked for the newspaper in Buffalo for about 5 years before coming down to Baltimore. So
where in Brooklyn are you from? I've known you my whole life, 36 years. I know you were from, I didn't know you were from Brooklyn. I thought you were from Long Island, funny enough.
Yeah, born in Brooklyn and then moved to Long Island when I was four. So
where did you grow up? What was your Massapequa, Hampstead? Where was your place?
Islip, Ronkonkoma, and then the Port Jeff area. So we kind of moved our way out towards further out.
Did you ever go to an Islanders game?
I've been to a couple of Islanders games. Yeah, I was a Mets fan growing up. My dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, of course, and then forbade us to root for the Dodgers when they moved to L.A. So we have that kind of a synchronicity going with Indy and Baltimore here. I'm a New Yorker at heart, but I've lived here, the longest stretch of my life has been in Baltimore. And for Terry, that threshold, she crossed that threshold a few years ago. So she's lived here longer than any place in her life, too.
Well, I mean, I don't know any bigger Ravens fans than you guys, but this was a week where, like, I wanted to have you on, A, because I love you and you're my friend and you were the first guest I had in the new studio 6.5 years ago. And then I realized, like, I don't think I've had you on since. And I sort of take you for granted in that way because, like, you know a lot about sports. You're fun about all of that. But, like, the history part of this city and sports because of what you were subjected to in the front door, meeting so many people, you know, at Sports First and then at the News American and at the Evening Sun and being there and all the ancillary from me and press. You literally know Steve Jeppy, everybody. I mean, the Ravens have hired you. The Orioles have hired you. Your work is everywhere. It's sort of ubiquitous, quite frankly. I mean, your stuff just sort of shows up. But, like, you know, you're associated with Baltimore for most people. And most people don't know you like I know you. They, like, if I show them this, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's for sake, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, for you all these years with the Ravens, you have such a rich history with this. And I haven't told this story in a long time, but when I went to the Super Bowl in 92, the first ever Super Bowl, you gave me all of your Bills gear. So I had, and I'm wearing these to honor you today. I'm wearing them. These are camo because I don't have the Zubaz anymore. But, you know, the Bills always wore the Zubaz pants. You gave me Zubaz pants, a Bills hat proper. And when I met Warren Moon in 1992 at the Super Bowl, and I hated the Redskins. So this was more an act. I was an Oiler fan. This was more of an act of support for you, trying to get you to a Super Bowl because I think you'd already lost two or three by then, right? And I was going, and they were playing the Redskins. And, you know, there's a whole generation here that don't even appreciate, like, how much we dislike the Redskins and why I would ever be spotted in Bills gear. Dude, there are pictures of me and Warren Moon wearing your Bills crap. And literally, you know, I mean, a Hall of Famer.
That's great. That's great stuff. I love it. I mean, I'll always remember that those couple of visits with you as an Oilers fan, one where Bills fans stomped on your glasses and took your glasses off and stomped on your glasses.
I don't remember that, but
oh, come on. On a local sportscast.
Oh, that was a TV. I remember that. We were walking around the city. It was New Year's Eve, and I was the only guy in an Oiler jersey. Yeah. I remember that.
Of course.
I wish we had footage of that.
I fired you for it. You know, you were willing to come into, you know, a hostile territory with, I mean, maybe the only Oilers fan that doesn't live in Houston that was in the country. I don't know.
Well, the weirdest part is I fell in love that night, right? I mean, I met a girl who I lived with for a couple of years. This is back in the 1980s. And she went to Geneseo State. So I wound up driving in this Caprice Classic 1977 green, pea green with the brown. I mean, it looks right out of Vacation. Like, I wish I had a picture of it because it was literally Brady Bunch. And this thing got like 7 miles to the gallon. And I drove this to Geneseo, New York because you took me to Buffalo. Buffalo has been good to me. Buffalo has been hard on me. You see, here's the deal this week. And this is true. I had flights on Saturday. I was going to go up. And, you know, you have to get COVID tested in the state of New York in order to go into the game. Right. And you know how much I love sports, man. Like, our lives from kissing Morgana in your living room to watching the Bills lose. I mean, we've known each other forever. You know how much I love sports. Right now, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not getting on a plane to fly to Buffalo Saturday to get something stuck up my nose, to maybe be able to go in, to maybe not be able to go in, to whatever pain in the ass it's going to be, to sit in the heated press box above the Bills stadium where you and I have, like, I've been in that stadium a dozen times, and it's always like a thing. You know what I mean? It's a thing to go to a Bills game. Absolutely. And I don't know that I want to. I mean, I went down to Houston and I sat in a game with no one. I'm one of the few people that have ever done that, right? Sure. And I went to Philly where they had a handful of people. I was in Washington where they had no one. And it's good on TV. And I have a flight to Kansas City next week. And you know what I mean? I have a flight to Tampa now. I took the Buffalo points and I put them in Tampa. And I said, you know what? So I'm not going. And like I said to my wife, my favorite part of going to Buffalo is going to Toronto.
Yeah, well, Buffalo's got its good points too. I told Mike Bellani, your buddy, that you might be there this week because he's still in Buffalo? He's going to be at the game.
Man, give me your Buffalo background. You were a cartoonist there for the Courier Express, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That's correct. So I worked at the Courier and, for the 5 years, and it folded, of course, and then I ended up here.
You got a gig as a sports cartoonist there, though, right? Like, not as a regular. You never did politics or anything like that.
No,
I mean, you did comedy and stuff. But
in fact, I worked alongside Tom Tolles, who's one of the great editorial cartoonists. He ended up at the Washington Post. He just retired. He's won the Pulitzer.
Wow.
As an editorial cartoonist, he's got some of the greatest liberal point of views of any cartoonist ever. And, you know, I'm going to miss his commentary on, I missed his commentary this last few weeks on everything that's gone down in this country. So I found my niche there.
Are you capable of that at this point in your life? I mean, you're kind of pissed off like I am. We're all pissed off. I'm using my pissed off at Baltimore Positive and trying to make the world a better place and moving this forward, but I'm not going to shut up. I mean, that ain't happening.
Me either.
And I know that about you. I mean, it would seem to me you could sharpen your pen and really get after this in the way you got after Bob Irsay at one point, right? I mean, sort of famously, sort of cut your teeth here on the Bob Irsay thing. But
exactly.
But your background in Buffalo, like, I mean, I don't want to be offensive. I loved you forever. I've often wondered, like, where was the calling for that? And then I think back to, like, we had whole newspapers that were trying to do all sorts of things to appeal to people through words, through pictures, through images, maybe the sport. But sports cartoon, who was the first sports cartoonist? Did it start as a a tabloid thing in the 50s or 60s in New York or something? I mean, what made you believe you could get a gig being a sports cartoonist?
It goes back longer than that, Ness. I mean, there's a great history of sports cartooning in this country. But I grew up as a kid reading Bill Gallo, and before him was Willard Mullen. Those are two of the great New York sports cartoonists. And so I had some of that. I had Mad Magazine in me from growing up, like you did probably.
I mean, you're like Howard Stern. You grew up like literally in the same era, in the same place, right? Like his story would be your story in that way as a child, right?
I think we're both, yeah, maybe so. You know, like I appreciated Howard Stern too. But my sports cartooning stuff comes from Bill Gallo and from Bruce Stark and from Willard Mullen in the New York papers. And that was kind of the heyday of it. And still there were some newspapers that carried sports cartoonists. Not every newspaper could afford to do that. I just happened to find my way in it in Buffalo, which was a great sports town.
No, but if you grew up out on the island, you're picking up papers, right? Because you're watching the Mets, who stink for the most part, right, in the 70s. And, you know, I've never known you to be a hockey guy or, you know, like there's certain things I've never known you to be a golf guy. I don't know what right. You watched in the 70s that inspired you to be a sports, probably the Jets, right? I mean, after Namath and whatever.
It's so ironic I ended up in Baltimore because, you know, I became a sports fan in 69 when the Mets and the Jets and the Knicks beat the three Baltimore teams. And, you know,
my dad reminded me of that frequently, by the way.
What's that?
My dad reminded me of that frequently.
Yeah. I mean, I would never root for New York teams now, except for I will root for Buffalo. But back then I was all in on those teams, and my relatives all root for those teams. The ones that still live on Long Island still root for those teams.
Mike Sigliano is my guest.
I'm talking to Baltimore now, man.
Oh, dude, there's nobody more Baltimore than you. I mean, you've driven how many images? What have you drawn the most in your life? Would it be Bob Irsay? Would it be Ray Lewis? Would it be the bird, you know what I mean? Like literally, what would it be?
Well, I did the bird cartoon for 3 years on the front page of the Sun every day. So the same kind of bird tradition that the Sun always had.
By the way, the greatest thing you've ever done for me was the Angry Angelo series. You did an Angry Angelo series for me.
You
did Little Peters.
I show that to other people. I show that in my classes. You had this idea of doing Peter Angelo.
Little Peters.
Give the bird. And it's very funny. Like the art on it is very funny. I just brought it out the other day. I should have brought it out for you. It was a great concept. Yeah.
You know what, man? I should have been better at show and tell today for this. But so you've drawn the bird more than you've drawn any other thing.
Yeah, Irsay, right. Albert Bell would be another. You know, like there are some guys.
But those went away quickly. Bell wasn't here long.
No, I know, but he was such a good fodder for cartoons. You know, same for Eddie, same for, you know, like there's just some guys that, you know, you draw a lot. And Peter Angelos, I've probably drawn him the second most. More than Irsay, because I really only had that small couple of year period with Irsay, where Angelos was, you know, many years while I was here in town, and I loved drawing him.
Well, and baseball was king too. I mean, it was, he gave you your Steinbrenner.
Yes, exactly.
He literally did.
Exactly. You know, so.
You no. Talk about this batshit stuff that's going on with this guy in DC. This literally is how the baseball team has been operated, has been intimidation. Peter Schmuck once said to me, he hates everything he can't control and abuses everything he does.
All right, there you go.
Now, Peter Schmuck would never write that, and he'll never take credit for it, but he said it, so give him credit. So if you see Pete, let him know. That was the greatest quote that he never put in the newspaper.
I'll let him know that, of course.
Yeah, but just, you know, when those type of things happen, if you're a political cartoonist, no offense to our country, and he's wrecked it, but drawing Donald Trump every day is probably more interesting than drawing Barack Obama or even Jimmy Carter or George Bush or anybody else, right? Like you,
right? Those kind of, you know, as a cartoonist, you dream about people like Donald Trump or Robert Irsay, you know, these kind of cartoon, you know, to some villains. I won't say to all, but to some.
Well, and to a writer, yeah, I would call them cartoonish characters.
Sure.
Donald Trump is a buffoon, has always been a buffoon. He has been characterized and cartooned more than anyone in New York as being a buffoon. And
yes. I mean, this is the guy for cartoons. I mean, no one has there's never been more cartoons drawn about anyone than this particular person. So I'd agree, you know, and all deserved, I might add.
but I guess the point with this would be personality that goes behind a cartoon. Sure. It's very hard to make Cal Ripken a cartoon.
Sure, exactly. And maybe Joe Biden, too. Like, you know, the way cartoonists solve, there's an evolution that happens with cartoonists. Like when Donald Trump first came in, people picked out his hair, but then other things came and other cartoonists borrowed from others. And eventually, a cartoon character, as opposed to just a caricature, you know, evolves, and everyone uses that formula for that guy. And
you teach this, don't you? You do. You teach.
I do. I teach a couple of.
I can tell, dude. Classes. Oh man, I want to be in the class. Barry and I want to sign up. Cartooning with Rasig. Let's go, man.
Yeah, you don't. I either teach 6th through 8th graders, Ness, or over 60. So you can't. Unfortunately, you don't qualify for any of my classes.
I'm almost 60.
No.
The great Mike Versigliano is here. He's go ahead and drink something, man. He's my lifelong friend. We're just jamming about Buffalo this week and the Bills and the Ravens. Give me a little COVID state for you and Terry and your lives and how you're doing and your thoughts about sports and football and baseball. I mean, our lives were about music and going out. And I mean, you've traveled and your boys have been all over the world and they're in rock bands. By the way, your lad who is one of the patrons of the Trump Beatles.
Yes,
I want to give a massive shout out over the last 4 years to the Trump Beatles.
Yeah, maybe the two best things that ever came out of this administration, the Trump Beatles and that giant balloon from England. Those are my two favorite, you know, Trump byproducts, but they're great. Both boys are in the Trump Beatles. I encourage everyone to find them on Facebook and on YouTube. They're awesome.
They're going to be really big, really, really big.
Exactly. They're really great. So yeah,
they really should be on Saturday Night Live. Like I had a friend who worked at NBC and I threw her a note and I'm like, somebody should put this in front of Lorne Michaels or somebody 3 doors down from Lorne Michaels to at least look at it and say, you should put these kids on for 2 minutes.
I've been begging them. They've kind of like disassembled, but I've been begging them to come back for the inauguration and do a Zoom, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. You know, it's like the real Beatles. They just can't figure out how to get back together again.
Is Yoko involved?
What's that?
Is Yoko involved?
No.
You know, I see the Facebook threads. So the other day, I said after these criminals, these traitors, these seditionists with guns and militia tried to come in and abduct and whatever they were going to do. After that, I put some stuff up and I said, maybe there's a seditionist camp. And I look like, where's the westernmost part of Alaska that you could swim to Russia? Because that's kind of where they want to be. And I found the airport there and I put it up. And someone, you know, people were putting, nah, Cuba. And I'm like, Cuba's getting, the weather's too good. And someone said, Yoko Ono played 24 hours a day.
Oh, man, that's great.
And I thought, you know, we could still have a little fun with this. You know, we have to have a little comedy in our lives. We've been trapped in our homes wearing masks. Missing sports, though, for you. Are you watching, like, I mean, we're all watching the NFL, but, like, this has been the weirdest thing to not go to a ball game and have a beer. We're sick, you know?
Oh, all of that. You know, it's been, you know, difficult for everyone, obviously. And, you know, all our everything we do mostly has been on Zoom. We've rarely seen our boys. The one time we got to see Tup was when he announced that he was having twins when we were up in Brooklyn, where he ends up.
Twins, Basil. Twins.
Identical twins. Identical twins.
Man, they know everything now. They spoil all the surprise, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
No, it was awesome.
Didn't do anything stupid like shoot himself in the nuts with a, you know, some powder thing when they do the blue and the pink.
No,
they didn't do any of that.
No. It was planned. Twins weren't planned, but
But he's a comedian. I figured he'd make something, you know, I mean, he'd do some Brett Terhune take on it or something, you know?
But through COVID, you know, Terry and I, we live near a park. So we live near Herring Run Park. So we are fortunate to be able to do our walks. We do kayaking. We do a fire pit in the backyard. And those three things have kept us going and allowed us to be social with a few of our friends in outside, you know, in a safe kind of environment. So if it wasn't for that, I think we'd be struggling with it a lot more, you know, and we all wish it ends soon and, you know, can hug each other again and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the sports stuff has kind of kept me going through it. I have to admit, I kind of checked out on baseball, but I've been all in on the NFL stuff this year.
Yeah, I called it Eddie Fainer. You know, I said it felt like a barnstorming tour.
Yeah,
it didn't even feel like a tournament. It felt like an exhibition, especially like with these clowns. I mean, it felt like a Arizona Spring League. I mean, literally. And I don't mean to be mean, but like, I got stuff I can be doing. You know what I mean? Like in August, I built a new company. I mean, we're all trapped at home. My wife survived cancer twice. We're waiting to go to a Pearl Jam concert, a Rolling Stones concert. But between here and there and the safety of the vaccine and, you know, where we are, the NFL has been the one thing that is given, right?
Yeah.
And here we are. And, you know, for Buffalo to not be able to go and be there. I mean, Nashville, you know, they hadn't had a home playoff game since Stover beat them back in 2009, right? So all right. These years we've had parades and this and that. And,
yeah, no.
You know, they haven't had a game and they can only have 50,000 people. There's a point in all of this where I'm going to be really sad when the football season's over because it's sort of carried me through the weeks here. And I, you know, as a guy who's done this for a living for 30 years, I've been very appreciative that they've played, but I've also been very, very realistic of like what that sham of a college football season looked like. People doing it when it is Eddie Fainer. That was an Eddie Fainer football game for me.
I agree. The NFL, for whatever reason, and part of it is, you know, a lot of us play fantasy football. I'm in like a postseason fantasy football thing, and that's been fun too. So yeah, I the NFL for me, it's been, other than the weird cardboard cutout fan stuff, you know, has been, and we did an exercise on that in my cartoon class. And as I appreciated the cardboard cutout fans. So my kids were drawing cartoons about cardboard people, which were really funny. Thank goodness for the NFL season. The Final Four in the AFC for me is so interesting because, you know, here you got Buffalo who, you know, where I lived and where I have a great allegiance, and Baltimore, of course, but also Cleveland, where I lived for a year as a cartoonist, and Kansas City, where Doc lives, and he's a big Chiefs fan. So I've got four teams in this thing.
He won last year. Tell him to get off the bus, you know?
Say again?
He won last year. Tell him to get off the bus, you know?
Yeah.
I know Doc will be watching.
I have to tell you, you know, I've got my Ravens hat on, but I got to put my Bills hat on, man, because...
Oh, you didn't do that. Did you just do that?
I just did, man, because I will be rooting for the Bills in this particular game. I mean, it's the best of both worlds for me. One of my...
You just feel like they're never going to have another chance, right? Because
exactly.
You're a Bills fan.
I mean, we've not gone yet. So I will be rooting for Buffalo. Of course, if the Ravens win, I'll be thrilled for us here too. And either way, I'm going to have a team going to the championship game. So I'm excited about that. But I based my Buffalo choice on the fact that two people in my family are born in Buffalo. Only one is born in Baltimore. And of course, I'm a New Yorker too. So I got to root for the Bills. They've never had a parade, you know, all of that.
Rasig, I've pulled the picture up. Anybody watching
there, man.
That is your hat. I was wearing Zubaz pants that I will try to share later. I have a picture of me in the Zubaz. I was schmoozing a really good looking girl at a piano bar, and there's a picture of me doing it that, you know, Johnny Raff took, because Johnny Raff went on that trip with me. Johnny Raff took this picture like on the court. This was taken at the Target Center at a Minnesota Timberwolves game on the Friday night before the Super Bowl. We went to the game and Warren Moon showed up on a screen, the big screen. And I said, he's here. Warren Moon is here. And I'm wearing Bill's stuff. What the hell am I doing?
You got it.
And I went down to him and I put my arm around him. I'm like,
Of course.
Martin Moon, I'm your biggest fan. Mr. Moon, I'm not really a Bills fan. It's like that guy carried a Confederate flag into the Capitol. I'm not really a Confederate flag. You know,
I always appreciated that about you, Ness, that you, and I could never do it. You know what I mean? Like when we got the team here in Baltimore, you burned your Oilers stuff. And, you know, I could
Whoa, I didn't burn it. I found it last week. It was in a box.
Okay. Well, whatever.
I have all of it. I found everything.
I could never have done it. I mean, you're the real, you know, all-in Ravens fan. You're the great Ravens fan.
I told Blaine Bishop about that last week because I took that picture of him with the Oiler helmet. And I said to him, I'm so elated that I took that picture. Because it's so classically Oiler. And if they had still worn those jerseys, which they should have the last 25 years, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that I took a picture, and, you know, Dan Pastorini has done stuff with me. Do you know I met Earl Campbell once?
No, that's NFL.
Oh, my God. You know, like my Oiler fandom, I found all these old pictures. And I think I told you this, Rasig, like, for me, I there's a point here where I'm going to, like, give it all away. Like you said, if anybody wants a hat, right? You know, I got 6,000 of them. 300 of you come and take 300 of my hats, and you like them that much, go have them, you know? Yeah. And I've got all this autographed rock star stuff and, like, all of this stuff, and I'm trying to find it. Here's my Earl Campbell picture, and I do want to share this because, like, this was my childhood hero, right? Like, if I would have told you that I could – and he told me to sit on his lap. He's like, sit up on my lap, man. You know, so like I sat next to him and I'm like, man, I love you. And he can't even walk, dude. You know, so like, and this was 6-7 years ago in Dallas at one of the Super Bowls. But I was such an Oiler guy, and you and I and Judy Haig and Steve Edgar and your wife, we got in the car, we drove up to Buffalo, we drank beer, I ran around in my Elvin Bethea jersey.
I had all those posters that I'd made about the war and about the Raiders that we were holding up throughout that game too. And my friend Eric Brady, who I think you know, Eric, who's the great sports writer for USA Today, it turned out was on the net crew his friend put him on the net crew. So he was driving around that stadium in a golf cart at the end of that game. He told me the next day he was so pumped up. That was a great victory for Buffalo. And of course, their first Super Bowl appearance was that game kicked that off. So it's a great game to be at.
Mike Rasigliano is here. He has spent a lot of time in Buffalo. He's married into Buffalo. He has admitted that he put a Buffalo hat on in the middle of this conversation. I mean,
you know, I love both teams equally, but Buffalo's never had a parade. Maybe they won't even get a parade.
No, there's no parade. That's why I said, let the Browns win. You know what I mean? This is their year, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, of course, I will be so fired up if the Ravens, you know, go on to win this thing, too.
If we win, we're going to be rooting for the Browns on Sunday because we get the championship game here in a game we can't go to.
Well, we both probably figured that we were going to Kansas City this week.
I had a flight to Kansas City. I thought maybe I'll drive. You and I have driven to Buffalo 5 times. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll drive to Buffalo. And then the more I thought about it, like the COVID testing and the same, I'm like, you know what? Couch is going to be fine. Zoom. I talk to John Harbaugh after the game whenever I want. You know what I mean? He's in my phone. Right. So, like, it's cool, you know? It has been less fun. You will admit that, right? Like, you don't have people running around the house high-fiving. It's a different experience.
They had a picture. Robin and Nick posted a thing on Facebook the other day about the Titans game, you know, the first in the 2000 year. And it was such a great memory for all of us because Dan Rodericks had written to me and said, you know, any place I could watch the game. And I said, you should watch it with us, you know? So he comes to Nick's house and everything that happens in that game, one of the great games ever with.
So you watch the pregame with Marty Bass and all of us being goofs down at Whiskey Joe's at Nick the Greek's house.
Yes, of course.
With Dan Rodericks.
With Dan Rodericks.
Man, that's a small Timor story if I've ever heard one.
And Dan was like, blown away, like he was there and people were jumping all over the house and literally rocking the house. And he wrote that in the paper the next day about how the house shook. But it was that kind of game for all of us as Ravens fans, you know, just big plays. And
now, when Stokely caught that ball, forget it.
Yeah.
Just forget it.
It was the greatest. And of course, that sent us on to the Raiders game. And we never thought we were going. We just had a friend that was going that said, you know, you get me a ticket, I'll fly us out there. So we ended up at that Raiders game.
I remember you calling me and you were in the other. I said, dude, I'm not going over there. I'm not walking. You were in the Al Davis section up on the roof.
And I know I've told this story and I'll tell it again because it's so much fun. We sat and the Ravens had told me when I got the tickets, Kevin Burns said this, don't wear any purple, you know, just.
They were telling everybody that I wore black. Yeah. Right.
So I wore black, but I wore Ravens gear, but we had Edwin Mulatalo's four Samoan cousins right behind us.
Well, he's from 15 miles away.
and they were bigger than Edwin Mulatalo. All four of them were. So no one gave us any grief at that game. They didn't care. They were just doling it out to all the sick Raiders fans. And when Shannon Sharp caught that pass, I literally jumped into the arms of one of those big giant Samoan guys behind me. It was such a fun day, you know?
I sat in the press box until the game started, and I was trying to figure out where, because I didn't like, I never sat in the press box in the early part of my, ever. First 20 years of Ravens, I was never in a press box. 15 years, I'd say. Right. When Twitter started, the press box in the second half became, you know, a way to communicate, right?
Right.
On the road, I always sat with fans. I always sat in the state. It's fun for me. You know, I took fans to games. I did all of that. Go look it up. But, you know, that game there were no fans. There were no Raven fans at that game. But like, obvious purple, you know, there were no sections of Ravens fans.
Right, exactly.
And Dave Rather, who owns Mother's, my neighbor Dave, had a little skybox that he had. I mean, in the old Oakland Coliseum, when I'm saying a skybox, I'm just saying it had wood and glass.
Okay, yeah.
And I went down to sit with him because I could cheer there. I couldn't cheer in the press box. That's the bottom line. I mean, the bottom line is I couldn't cheer.
Yeah.
And so I could cheer in the press. And this was a place I could cheer because it was all Ravens fans. A bunch of Ravens fans came all in. They're like, it's safe down here. And it was kind of close. You know, I was on the 30. It was in the goal. And I saw where it was. I saw inside the glass. They were all wearing purple. And I'm like, okay, that's where I'm going. I got down. There was a little treacherous getting down there. And once I got down there, I'm like, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the piss. You know, I'm not leaving, you know. And there was no bathroom. This is the Oakland.
We never dared go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm not. They were trying to make me drink. I'm like, I am not drinking unless I'm going back to the press box.
Yeah.
The press box barely had running water. This was 20 years ago. They're still playing baseball there. Literally,
that's
right?
That's quite remarkable.
I love that place, dude. It smells like Memorial Stadium we're seeing. I mean, it's just. So I get over there. Stover missed that kick. So I was at that vantage point of the end zone that Shannon Sharp ran away from us on the touchdown. And then Stover missed the kick on my end. And when Stover missed the kick, there were Raiders fans through the glass and they were beating on the glass.
Yeah.
And this little boy gives me a double middle finger. Little 7-year-old boy wearing a Rich Gannon jersey, double dutching me. Maybe it was Kent Stabler. And I'll never forget that. And then the glass broke.
Ooh.
The glass, like, it didn't shatter. I mean, it shattered, but it didn't break.
Yeah, right.
It was that, it had that bullet look to it, you know? And I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of here. So with about 8 minutes left to go in the game, I had always told Kevin Byrne, and maybe he remembers this, maybe he doesn't, but I'd always told him, I said, when we go to the Super Bowl, and we are only 4-year-old franchise time, right? So, but I said, we ever go to Super Bowl, I'm going to ride the elevator down with you. Because I rode the elevator down with him after wins and losses and like picked his brain a little bit on the way. In the old stadiums back in the 90s, you know, and I'm always wearing like Ravens gear. I'm wearing a jersey. You know, I'm an idiot. There's a picture of me wearing the dunce cap in San Diego, standing up on a stool, listening to Ted Marchibroda. I have hilarious footage of all of this. But so I said to Kevin Byrne, I'm going to ride the elevator down if we're going to go to the Super Bowl. And we were obviously, you know, like that game was, were winning enough. It was a close game, but our defense, they weren't scoring. Oh, Goose was wearing.
And remember, their quarterback went out.
Right, and they brought in Bobby Hoy. Right. Goose is wearing the sunglasses, the whole deal. And I rode the elevator down with Kevin Byrne, you know, down. And there was violence. I saw cops bleeding. I mean, it was a really bad scene. Right. I mean, they didn't want us to go out on the field to get the trophy. None of the Ravens people were allowed out. And then they kind of cleared it out. And I have pictures on the dais with me and David holding the trophy with Art and Martin O'Malley. And I didn't cry until I got out of the tunnel. I was in a locker room. All those pictures with Goose wearing the Mickey Mouse shirt and Burnett. Yeah. I was in all of that, right? In that soup. And I walked out and Mike Flynn's mother grabbed me and I started bawling. She started bawling. Super Bowl, man. But Buffalo, you've never won. I was sitting 3 feet behind you, right? The first time you lost, we watched it. We watched the first two in your place. Yes. And then I wound up going to Minneapolis for the other one.
Well, you didn't. I didn't. I never have been to a Super Bowl. So you went to that one. I never went to a Super Bowl. So.
But we got to fix that, Rasig.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'll just be happy having been to those two great championship games for me. And
dude, that Buffalo game, that 51-3, that was a party.
Oh, it was a party from the get-go, you know, and that's, I'll always remember that and being with Steve and Judy and the trip up and the trip back from that too, and all your escapades too. So, you know, it's a memorable trip.
You don't remember all my escapades. You weren't there for all of it.
Well, Sprata took a comeback too, but
I remember about the night before that game, and I'm not making this up. This is true. I'm 21. Yeah, it was 19. I was 21. So I could get into bars. It was 19 in Canada, right? Or 18. It was something crazy in Canada.
That's true. It might have been 18 in Buffalo at the time. I'm not even sure. It was at one point. So
your nephew, Mike, who's become my lifelong friend, who is from Depew.
Yeah.
He and I went out skirt chasing, and this was the night before the game. We were in a bar at 4 o'clock in the morning listening to the Doors. Yeah. Like Buffalo bars were open really, really late, right?
Yes.
Historically,
still to this day, I'm probably not during COVID, but prior to that, yes.
All I remember was being 21 and thinking, you guys stay open to 4 a.m. I'm moving to Buffalo. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's the only time I ever thought I was moving to Buffalo, by the way. Just
they're open till 4 because it is Buffalo. Well, so it's something to do.
Yeah, a little beef on whack, you know, a little Labatt's and maybe some wings and Anchor Bar and all that good stuff. Yeah. Dude, love you. And thanks for visiting. I mean, is there anything you want to say about the Bills other than you're supporting them? You're pooping on Lamar right now.
But I also love the Ravens. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great game. I think, you know, Buffalo would have done better to have played Pittsburgh than they will to play the Ravens. The Ravens are a force right now. So I think it's two teams playing at the top of their game, going against each other. We should get a great game. I think there's going to be a little snow for the game, a light sprinkle perhaps. So it'll be a very fun watch for all of us.
Not as good as that hockey game was up there, though, right?
No, not as good as that.
But nothing will touch that hockey game up there.
It's going to be fun. I'll say go to both teams, but, you know, I got my Bills hat on for the rest of the week.
Rasig, this plague has been a mess. I mean, not just for government and for life and for financial issues and for friends of mine and like all the awfulness, but I've been going to Cleveland for 21 years. I've never missed a Ravens game in Cleveland. And I had the flight and the day, and my wife was away. I could have gone. I mean, I had my cat, right? But I'm like, I'm not going to freaking Cleveland on a Monday night in December. Like, I'm just not sitting in empty half.
Wow.
And I wind up missing like the Willis Reed game.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I said it the other day. I said the two most amazing things that I've seen this year were, of course, the Capitol insurrection, of course. And I say that amazing in a sad way. But the second most amazing thing was that Monday night game. It was exhilarating. It was crazy, man. It was so much fun.
Well, Rasig, I hope you don't have too much fun rooting for the Bills on Saturday night.
You know, I'll be thinking of you. So let's see. Let's see. Let's see how it all plays out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
My brother from a Brooklyn mother, Mike Rasigliano, longtime sports cartoonist. I'm only holding this one. I mean, I got so many cartoons that I've touched in the land. By the way, you're on the set every day. Right? So you did this for me. And by the way, this is the sport's first pin down here. I don't know if you can really see it. I'm going to pull it off. Yeah. I'll never get it back on. But this is the original sport's first pin. So you're always with me, Rasig. All right? So there.
And you with me, my friend. So let's you know, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I was there when Thurman Thomas lost his helmet. So, you know, and I'll be here for this as well.
Say hello to Joe D for me.
You got it. We're having Hall of Famers on this week. We're going to have Bills. We're going to have Buffalo people. I've just decided to have a little bit of spirit about all this. We're going to talk about government and democracy. You bet your ass we're going to do that. Johnny O is here. Calvin Ball is here. Stuart Pittman is here. Adrian Jones is here. You can find all that out at Baltimore Positive. Nancy Pelosi's been here. She'll be here again. In the meantime, she needs to go save the government.
Can I share one thing with you before I go?
Yeah, of course, man. My time is your time.
I got a chainsaw for my wife this year for Christmas because we have a fire pit, and I made her a practice log. I just wanted to show that to you.
Oh, nice. By the way, this fire pit's kind of famous because it's how I ever acquired the nickname Nasty Nester, right? Like, so I famously babysat Rasig's boys when they were young. And I lost a bet, a Philadelphia Phillies LA Dodgers game at the Vet. I said I would babysit your kids. The answer to the question turned out to be a future Oriole who was a dear friend of mine, who we lost recently, Todd Froworth, who was one of the great guys ever. His first name was Todd because you came up with that. You must have been playing like rotisserie baseball or something.
Yeah, that's how the only reason I knew that, of course.
Oh, it was 1989, right, exactly. So I babysat your kids. They called me Nasty Nester because I sort of overcooked some meat on your fire pit. So okay. To hear about your fire pit 30 years later, let's go. What do you got for me?
Well, no, this is Terry's chainsaw practice log. I wanted to give her a log that she could practice on because she's never had a chainsaw or worked a chainsaw.
I don't think she should have a chainsaw.
This is the practice log that I have for Terry right here. This is it. She'll be able to use a chainsaw on this at some point and learn how to use it.
I hope she doesn't screw it up. Because that would be like the guy who shot himself in the nuts after he broke into the Capitol. You know what I mean? We wouldn't want to have that happen. Rasig, I love you, man. Be well. Take care of yourself.
Right.
Give care of my best. Congratulations on the grandchildren.
Thanks so much. We're fired up about that and the game this weekend.
But when's that supposed to happen? Do we know a gender? What do we know here?
Identical twin boys.
And what month is this happening?
April 2000 of this year. April.
Well, Terry's here. Now the show's getting good. Terry. Why am I going to leave now?
Greetings. How are you?
It's Grandma Terry or future
it's
Grandma.
It's Grandma.
You guys are hilarious. Thank you very much. We're going to step out, take a break. Buffalo, go Buffalo if they beat us, but they better not beat us. How about that, all right?
All right. Oh, take care.
All I remember about that day, now that Terry is here, is they still play the Bills Make Me Want to Shout, because I saw them do that last week. They still do that. But the thing I remember was Mighty Taco, Mighty Taco. They gave tacos away, and there was some company called Mighty. I had to look up Mighty Taco. I've never had a Mighty Taco in my life, but if I went to Buffalo Saturday and they weren't going to stick things up my nose to try to get, you know, just – I'm not going to the game Saturday, but I would go to Mighty Taco.
That's surprising, but I mean, I get it. You know, I get it. So that's why Bill's Mafia, you know, entertains the whole country, basically.
They wanted me to go to Tonawanda for a COVID test at $65. All right. Be good, guys. See you. There you go. And Terry Rasigliano, better known as Rasig. The chief cartoonist of all things, me, us, WNST, and literally every other media organization in the city. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Unlike Rasig, we want the Ravens to win here at Baltimore Positive.